I believe we are ready on our discussion agenda to hear item T, and I believe we have a speaker. We invite you to the podium. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm Mary Lou Erin Gurin with the California Federation of Interpreters. I'm here this morning on behalf of our outgoing president, Michael Ferreira, and our incoming president, Ariel Torrone, who could not be here today. Good morning, Chief Justice, council members. I have some good news for a change. So I'll start with that. We have reached a tentative agreement in 15 Northern California courts that, by all accounts, is a fair compromise. Though it is still being ratified, I am confident it will be approved. We are pleased for our members and for the courts we serve that this was accomplished without the disruption of a strike. We are encouraged by the modest improvements this contract provides in compensation. After so many years of wage stagnation, this is at least a start in the right direction. We represent another 400 interpreters in Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo, however, who are working without a contract and are also long overdue for some relief. We urge the council and the ad hoc committee addressing the interpreter budget to bear that in mind as budget decisions are being made. Recruiting and maintaining a workforce of skilled interpreters, particularly with the anticipated need for expansion of these services, requires investment in that workforce. The courts also rely on independent contractors to provide supplemental and essential services. Their compensation has not been adjusted since 2007 and should be adjusted in conjunction with increases to staff interpreter wages. To provide for expansion of services and necessary growth in wages, the full interpreter budget and unspent surpluses will need to remain available for interpreter compensation and benefits. Our agreement in Region 2 also includes a delay in any implementation of video remote interpreting for a year, pending adoption of the statewide language access plan. We are encouraged that stakeholder meetings and public hearings are part of developing that plan and expect there will be further opportunities for dialogue with interpreters and the organizations that represent them about how best to expand language access and ensure quality services. The appropriate use of VRI is yet to be defined, and this remains an issue of great concern to us and to judges, justice partners, as well as community and legal organizations we work with. Prior to implementing VRI, it will be important to adopt enforceable standards to protect civil liberties and meaningful access to justice. Development of these standards should include interpreter representatives who understand intimately what it takes to bridge the language gap and should involve a serious cost-benefit analysis. The legislative priorities on your agenda today include restoring funding to the judicial branch and expansion of interpreter services. We hope that we can find common ground in both of these areas so that we can work collaboratively with you on those priorities in Sacramento, and we look forward to working with you on accomplishing both of those goals.
Thank you.
So on item T, we turn this over to Judge Ken So, the chair of PCLC, and Ms. Laura Speed, AOC Office of Governmental Affairs.
Good morning. We're talking about PCLC recommended legislative priorities in 2014. And, of course, the number one priority is to advocate for a robust investment in our justice system. That investment would avoid further reductions and preserve access for justice to all of California. The second priority is to advocate to secure new judgeships and ratify the authority of the council to convert the vacant subordinate judicial officer positions to judgeships in the eligible courts. And third, we are recommending to advocate for legislation that will expand access for interpreters in civil cases. These legislative priorities embody the Chief Justice's Access 3D framework for increased access to courts through improved physical access by keeping courts open and operating during hours that will benefit the public, to increase remote access by increasing the ability of court users to conduct branch business online, and for enhanced equal access by serving people of all languages, abilities, and needs and reflect California's diversity. Laura from our Office of Governmental Affairs is here to provide further background on the proposed legislative priorities, and we'll answer any questions anybody might have.
Good morning. Thank you. Just to expand a little bit on what Judge So said, we do have the three priorities. Number one is budget stability, and within that priority itself, the reinvestment in the branch to continue services to the extent that we can restore services that have been cut, growth funding to continue throughout the years as we know certain costs will go up, and then the continued support sponsorship of the efficiencies that have been previously approved by the council in 2012 and earlier in 2013. For the judgeships, we'd be seeking or recommend seeking the funding for the second set of 50 judgeships that was approved in 2007 but has yet to have been funded at all, and then seeking the third set of 50 that we also need under the latest workload assessment, and then continuing to sponsor the legislation to ratify the council's authority to convert the SJO positions to judgeships. And finally, the third item is to advocate for to improve the language access. PCLC approved a specific proposal on Tuesday, December 10th, that will be coming before you on your January meeting. But this would allow courts to provide interpreters in civil cases regardless of the income of the parties. So those are the three recommendations, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Laura. Judge Rosenberg.
The only issue I wanted to raise is that when we advocate for the new judgeships, we should not lose sight of the fact that studies have shown we need at least 350 new judgeships, if I remember the number correctly. And obviously, that can't be accomplished overnight.
Yes.
But even if we fund the second 50 and we get the third 50, we're still short. And that is a very significant access to justice issue. So in our advocacy, we should make sure to make reference to the studies that show we're well short of needed judicial officers.
You can include that in our messaging.
Judge Jarr, then Judge Ellsworth, and Judge Elias. Is that in a hand?
Yeah. Just as a matter of clarification, on the report that accompanies this item, at page 4, there is actually a very handy summary of our current budget situation. There is a typo, which I will tell you is material. It's found on the third paragraph, second line, where it says $20 million. That should be $200 million. This was a topic that I addressed with council members at an earlier point, and once again reflects the use by the trial courts in fiscal 12-13 and its use again in 13-14 of the reserves to effectively subsidize what have commonly been referred to as structural deficits. Of course, under current law, unless changed, reserve dollars will not be available, or if you prefer, fund balance dollars will not be available for that purpose because they won't be available. And so right off the bat, we have a hole to dig out of for 14-15 just to stay at 13-14 levels. So once again, the entry, second line, third paragraph, page 4, that says $20 million should say $200 million. Sorry for the interruption and the oversight.
Thank you.
I just want to express that I think that it's really wonderful that we're going after the funding for those unfunded judgeships. It means so much to so many counties. And I think that perhaps in the discussions, if you need any information from any of the individual counties that would be beneficial, I think, for example, the updated information for Riverside County that should have anywhere between 148 to 150 judges currently has 58, and by 2014 we'll have 9 vacancies of that. So when you look at the percentages towards the total whole of 150, then you start being able to realize in a population of over 2.2 million individuals and the caseloads, I think some of that information becomes very real when taking that charge. And so I know that many of the counties would be happy to provide you kind of the nuance or the updated information that puts the percentages into clarity, because it's not like we're just down a couple of judgeships. That six will mean that we are increased incrementally. That will be just a saver for all of us. So I think that that personal information, just thank you for bringing that to the charge.
Very helpful. Thank you. Judge Elias?
Mine is sort of a question. It's my understanding that with judgeships, we are theoretically getting more funding for staff. Is that correct?
Yeah, the funding for that includes the whole package that would go with.
So your request for more judgeships is including a request for the sufficient staff to go along.
Right.
Right. Thank you.
All together. Mm-hmm. Judge O'Malley?
And the one thing that you want to stress is that these were approved.
That's right.
You know, way back when, there was a legislature that looked at this study that thought, wow, 150 judges, they're down. And we can't afford it all at one time, so we're going to break it up into groups of 50. But this was approved and decided already as absolutely necessary. And then, obviously, the budget took the skids. But, you know, you have to remind them, this isn't a luxury here. This was something that was determined that was necessary and needed years ago. And filings have gone up and down in the meantime. Not sure if the 350 is still accurate, maybe 320 now. It's not going to be much different. But, yeah, the needs have already been approved. It's just getting them there. So, again, we need to remind them that this isn't something that was just an addition for us.
But it's significant to me that this study was conducted before the census. And having the census show growth in population, and most recent indicators that California's population grew in 2010-11 in the paper today, it discussed a growth. This is a reflection of the growth of the state and the growth of the application of the laws, and it's an access issue once again.
It's an access issue.
Mm-hmm. Any, if there is no further discussion at this time, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Move to approve. Thank you, Judge Bramlin.
Second.
Judge Ellsworth, any further discussion? Not seeing any hands raised. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries.
May I make one? Chief, in the LA Times this morning, it reports, just what you said, is their California population grew 332,000 people. In the last fiscal year.
Right. After the census, which already showed explosive growth.
38.2 million people in California.
That's right.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you,
Judge Stone.